Las cafeteras are not only a musical group, they are a group of friends. Las cafeteras are not only a group of friends, they are active members of the community. Community activists through music. But they still know how to party and exude all their tradition and love for folk, jarocho, urban song that gets their fans moving all throughout their shows. Ellos son Lia, Denise, Jose, Daniel, Hector, and David. Y seguro que les gusta el café a estos LA kids, for sure. Pero el nombre más bien viene de donde se conocieron. Un lugar comunitario en Los Ángeles where everyone just hung out to make music, make art, make connections, dropped in to create and activate. The movement started and it continues today. I'm so proud to welcome a couple of their members here to the Queso Podcast today. I'm just so excited and I'm so inspired speaking to them. I hope you will be too. Make sure to hit them up on lascafeteras.com and check out their tour. It starts this Friday in Los Angeles, then Utah, then Texas, down the road, Chicago. And they just keep adding dates, so check back often. Thank you for joining me on the Queso Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Hector and Denise with Las Cafeteras. Check out the Queso Podcast, where it's going to get cray cray. Yeah, yeah.
With that cheese. Hi, everyone. We are Las Cafeteras. Super excited to be back on tour. We have a lot of the chisme on the Queso Podcast with Amelia Orozco.
Bienvenidos, Denise y Hector, aquí en The Queso. Y mucho gusto verlos otra vez. No sé si se recuerdan de mí, pero sí hemos platicado antes cuando vinieron a Chicago con otro medio. Y ahora, pues, este es mi propio medio. So I'm really glad to have you on here. I'm so honored to be able to welcome you. And thank you for your time.
Yeah, we're excited. I feel like we're back, people. Everyone's connecting again. The pijamas are back in the drawer.
Pintando.
So we're excited, Amelia. And we're hoping to see you soon at the end of the year.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
And también vamos a regresar a Chicago. En, ¿cuándo, Denise? ¿En octubre?
En octubre. Vamos a abrir el show de Ana Bárbara.
Ahí vamos a estar.
Nice. And it seems like every time I see you guys, you're at a bigger venue, you're just growing. And, you know, let's take a couple steps back. I think last year you guys were on the verge of going on tour.
Yes.
And something happened. How did you get the news that it was canceled? And how did that affect the rest of the year for you guys?
Oh, wow. You know, we had just come back from a long tour. We had been on Bernie Sanders' campaign, presidential campaign.
We went to Alaska
for a week, and we were in Santa Cruz. We came back for a week, and we were set to go back to a residency in Santa Barbara, Viva el Arte in Santa Barbara. And actually, I got sick, Hector got sick, and we sent the muchachos, we said, save yourselves to the residency. We'll see you at the show. Ese viernes, cuando Héctor y yo nos íbamos a ir en rumbo a Santa Bárbara, que son dos horas al norte de Los Ángeles, they call us and say, they canceled everything. And we said, what? You know, and they said something called COVID-19. Nobody knows what's happening, but they're canceling the shows. They're canceling the residency. Don't come.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah, and I think at one point someone's going to check in, someone's going to do a documentary or something, just, you know, how it impacted different people. But for artists, our whole lives are on the road and in public and social gatherings. So I remember March and April were the worst months ever because everything we've been building towards, though, I mean, especially in the following 2 weeks in March, everything canceled, 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 yeah. canceled. And you just saw, you know, everything happening. And I just remember just in a state of shock, and I, as well with everybody else. But, you know, our livelihoods are social gatherings, our outdoors.
And you guys are a group of... I'm sorry about that. Yeah, you guys are a group of friends and musicians that came together through social justice issues. And the purpose of your gathering initially was to really come across with a message for people, right? So it must have been really frustrating for you to, like, there's nothing we can do about COVID, right? Because there, you can always protest, you know, racial injustice. There's, you know, you can be active. But how do you go about, you know, this global pandemic, and how do you address that as musicians, and that's your stance on social issues?
I think it just became really clear about the disparities around health justice and the access to appropriate health care, to health insurance, to, you know, to universal health care. You
just know, information that doesn't make it to some people, yeah.
Information, the lack of trust to the health industry. And as, you know, as Mexicanos, like, I experienced it with my own parents. They don't say that they're feeling unhealthy. No digas porque para que no se preocupen. Or they're just so used to keeping everything inside that it's not until the last minute that they say, I need help. And at that point, you have less power to help. You know, I've had family pass away. I've had friends whose parents passed away because they didn't say they didn't feel good, you know? And so, you know, and also with Black Lives Matter, with the, like, gender justice work that was happening all this year, it just became really clear for us as Las Cafeteras, you know, it can be easy when you're on tour to only focus on your show. To only focus on the best production, to only focus on how to sell tickets and stay relevant, you know, in the artist world. But for us, we're like, let's rewind and remember why, you know, what's our purpose. Wow. But like Hector talks a lot about that, and he organized some work with Black Lives Matter too. So I think it's just really important to uplift that as well.
Well, I mean, that's really, it takes a lot of emotional intelligence to really try to hone in on something during this time, and as a collective, you know, as a group, to even connect to whatever, what is everyone's mind going through, because you guys probably couldn't be together, right, during this year.
Yeah.
Nope,
not at all. So when did practices pick up again, and talking about new music, when did that pick up again?
Maybe like a year in practicing, but we would do like specific things. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we did maybe like 9 months in was we had a gig at the Ford Theater. It was pre-recorded. It was, you know, just going to be done, but everybody had to get tested. Everybody had, you know, they wouldn't let you on the premises if you weren't tested and were negative. But everything was done virtually. And I think in a way, COVID kind of became a way for a lot of people to slow down. And so, you know, our drummer, Cano, he used to say this thing. I don't know where he got it from, but he said one time at a meeting, you know, we would still meet and check in every week. And he said, you know, if you can't go out, then go in. And that was really dope.
When he wow. Said
that, yeah. It was really powerful, because at that time, you know, we were not trying to go out. You know, and the only people that were going out were sort of like people who didn't believe in COVID, or they didn't believe in the pandemic. They weren't trying to put on a mask, but that wasn't us. We were trying to be very careful. We all have parents and loved ones that were high risk, and people did get sick. You know,
I think the struggle was some of those people were our friends and family, right? That were kind of getting out there and getting together for fiestas
My abuela still doesn't. She hasn't got vaxxed because she doesn't want to. She didn't believe it. She went to Vegas a week and a half ago, and she got COVID in Vegas. And now, like, the familia is just, like, freaking out. But at the same time, like, she didn't believe it. She didn't want it, you know? And aquí está enferma en su casa.
Right now? She's
right now. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's crazy, you know? And it's kind of like people have been telling abuela for a long time, but she's like, no quería. No quería. And so recently we actually just did some, we hooked up with an organization, the Latino Community Foundation, and we actually did some pro-vax PSAs that are going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Because now that we're talking about the Delta variant, you know, we ain't in the clear yet. And so we still want to be, people still need to be careful, you know. But one thing we learned, the two things we learned in the pandemic is one, we're all connected. We're all connected. Two, universal healthcare is possible. Like everybody has access to a thing, and it's always been like that. Now, whether we've allowed it or not, but now because of the pandemic, it's possible. We know it is, and we should be pushing more to make sure that if you're sick, I'm sick. You know, I'm only healthy if you're healthy, and that's the way we should be moving forward. So it's been a very, very difficult time, very enlightening time, and powerful time as artists, because we've still been creating. We've actually been more creative in quarantine than the last 3 years.
Probably the second half of quarantine more so, right? Because at first it was like that shock, like, okay, we're all kind of stunned. And then it starts coming back. You want to revive and get, you know, get that yourself. This is the only year that I wish time would go faster. Because I feel like the further we go in time, the closer we get to the end of this and the solution and people coming together again, you know, because we're all navigating new ground, you know, which brings me to the debut of your new video, La Sirena. Congratulations. It's hey, beautiful. Hey, and the collaborations you do, you know, and really what I take away from it is like, you can't function out of your element. You know, why do we expect people to function out of their element? And we've been discovering so much about ourselves. Tell me about that, about how that came to be. I know you had a little bit, some collaborations with other people. I recognize Egno helped. I remember that group. Yeah, that's great. Tell me about La Sirena.
Me and Denise, you know, in COVID time, me and Denise, we went to Phoenix on behalf of Las Cafeteras to perform out there for Get Out the Vote efforts. And when we were in Phoenix, we met up with Poder Latinx, an organization organized in Arizona, Georgia, Florida, swing states. One of the organizers is also a drag performer. So, you know, male identified goes by Adonias, but as a female performer goes by Sicaria. And Sicaria said, come to our drag show and perform there tonight. And we said, okay. When a drag queen tells you to come out, you don't say no.
You say, how high are my stilettos tonight?
We went to the drag show. We went to the drag show and it was amazing because it was called Drag Out the Vote. And it was done by like the drag voter squad. And it was a mix of drag show and organizing events. And so it was educational, informative, talking to people about the statistics, but also had drag performances in between. It was amazing. And I was like, yo, we got to do something like this. Cause it was so dope. And you know, Sirena was the project. So Sirena is about two people, is like, you know, a musical novella about two people falling in love from two different worlds. I said, mm-hmm. How wonderful, you know, to have, you know, so I'm like, yo, falling in love with, you know, a drag queen, you know, would be wonderful to tell that story, uplift, you know, the drag culture, uplift trans characters, also inviting undocumented dancers to be part of it because it was Immigrant Heritage Month, Pride Month. And, you know, we're not just one thing, we're many things. And so there's a lot of, Sicaria is an undocumented drag performer, you know, from Mexico. You know, we had dancers who are undocumented, who are also dancers, who are also queer. And so our choreographer was queer. You know, we wanted to have a queer director. And so it was a very intentional production about bringing in different identities, but like we're all raza, right? And while celebrating diversity, celebrating life, and celebrating the different colors that we come from. And so it was wonderful.
It seems like all the work you've been doing over the years is like culminated in this one video. It's just like a colorful expression of all, you know, all the things you support and believe in. Denise, you were gonna say?
No, I say I love it because in the beginning when we were recording the song, And this song was actually recorded. Everyone was, nobody was in the room together as we recorded the song. So we pieced it together separately. Oh. And it became this amazing production. And with the video, we were just, you know, how do you hold space with folks in your community that you don't necessarily share the same lifestyle with or share the same identity with, right? How do we make this a queer empower, like a queer embracing and empowering performance? And how do we take a step back at the same time? And so for me, you know, I'm always like, what are we saying with this song? What are we saying with these images? And even though in the beginning, I didn't really get it. Like, how is this song going to be like a queer, undocumented, empowering kind of like narrative? But it doesn't always have to be like, you don't have to push a message down people's throats, right? You simply exist and let, you know, natural people exist in their element, like you were saying. And the video just came to life. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful just depiction of what it's like to live amongst each other, right? To fall in love and to be able to have folks that are, you know, cis male identified, fall in love with a drag queen, have like women and like folks that are gender fluid, just kind of like being in their sexy element, having like a queen's vote kind of thing. It's like, why not? It's messy, but it exists the same way that we do, right? And I love it. And I just love how fabulous it is. I was like, oh, I look great. I like that. I think I should wear that wig more often. I don't know if you pull it off, but I just feel like, wow. Like, I think it pushed us to our like artistic, not our limits, but it pushed boundaries for us that we can do so much more.
Yeah. And it's always dope because we've been working with queer creatives. So we've been working with both documented and undocumented folks, but it's not something that we talk about all the time, right? There's no need like, hey, look what we're doing. But because we did a collaboration with Poder Latinx. We're able to do a collaboration with the Human Rights Campaign, the largest civil rights LGBTQ+ organization in the country. We said, you know what? Let's really use this opportunity to uplift communities, uplift the queer community, the drag community. And it is about the production. So not just on camera, but behind the camera. So we definitely wanted to work with a queer director, queer identified director. We have brought on a queer choreographer, and we had a diverse cast and crew that's gender fluid, that identifies in many different ways. And like, when you create that behind the scenes, then you create the space for magic on the scene, you know, and that's kind of what it was. So like Denise, like saying like, yeah, how are we going to do it? But because the crew was so dope and so fabulous, we knew that on camera was also going to be that.
You know? They could definitely see beyond what you were seeing. They could see the finished product in their mind. And it came through that way. Came through.
Shout out to Roberto, director, for being part of that, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
You know, I really like to hone in on like specific phrases and words. You know, I'm all about words. That's why I call it the queso or the queso. But
I love it.
I feel like a popular phrase that's really like been very meaningful in the last couple of years, more so this year, is just saying when someone holds space, someone holding space. Like I've been hearing that a lot in my interviews or just conversations with people on all kinds of issues. You know, it's really important to hold space. And it takes me back to your early days where you said, el café wasn't a place, it was a state of mind, right? And that's why you were like, you're known as Las Cafeteras, because it was like this cafe where everyone got together and collaborated. I don't know if you give that a lot of thought, but yeah, you hold space. When you perform, you're holding space for all kinds of people to come together. Like, is that intentional on your part? Like before you go on stage, like, what are you thinking? What is your goal at the end of the night for performance?
Merch sale. Just kidding. Kidding, not kidding.
Let's be honest.
You know what? I think when we started playing the music, it was very much like, oh snap, like I could do this, I could sing, I could play, and I don't have to be perfect. And my friends are like rooting me on. I think that's kind of like the seed of how we started, and we bloomed into, I feel like we become children again on stage. We're talking about really serious things. And I'm very careful around trauma bonding with the audience. And also when you're talking about hurtful things, you're going to be hurt over and over again unless you create a different meaning for it, for what happened in your life, what happens in your community, right? So I think for us, I don't know if it's like a Latina thing where you can talk about like very terrible things, but like sing and dance and laugh, you know, we're just like this dichotomy of so many feelings and emotions. I think what we do is that we've been able to embrace a traumatic communal past, but we've also understood that in that has been like nuggets of empowerment, of resilience, of beauty, of joy, and we're here for a reason. So the purpose of Las Cafeteras is to not hide those things, to say, yes, all this happened, but we're here together and we're a family, and we don't have to only identify with those hurtful things. And in our shows, we our spirits, I think our true selves come out to play. And I think that an audience needs to see the authentic, true spirit to be able to say, hey, I can be that way too. And we bond mostly with joy and laughter and dancing, right? For brown bodies to be open and available and productive in non-laborious ways, I think is really revolutionary. And although we may not have intention every night to do that, we do it for ourselves and each other. And that in turn allows the audience to do that.
I think it still comes through, even though you say you don't have that intention. Like when you're saying all that right now, the song that comes to mind is Trabajador, right? You're talking about how hard you work, the sacrifices, but then you're like, this is why my parent did, you know, did this for me, and I'm going to graduate. I'm going to, you know, live the successful life and fulfilled life more than anything. And I think that's the perfect example. But then you have like, you can tell which ones are my favorite songs. Mujeres, like I love that song. And really, what are you saying? You're just saying mujeres, but I just get it. Like, I just get it. It just lands on me. And I know what you're saying. And I see the images and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of us, you know, that's just us like out there hustling and getting things done, and not just women, you know, now transgender, you know, people, you know, all Latinos and all people, you know, what we've been through in the last year in the Black Lives Matter protests. And it's really brought us together. It's been a crazy year.
But it's been good.
It's been good.
In the sense that like you don't grow when things are easy. You know, you only grow when things are hard. So like when people say, man, I want to grow, but I want things to be easy, that doesn't happen like that. You know, people want to grow, but they don't want to go through anything hard. And you know, like it or not, this was a really, really difficult year. And so you could have seen the pandemic. If you were making excuses before the pandemic about not doing stuff in your life, the pandemic was another excuse. Exactly. If you were hustling and bustling and figuring things out and like making something with nothing before the pandemic became something else you had to work around, you know? And so like the pandemic really brought out people sort of where they are at this point in their life.
Right.
For better, for worse, also brought out a bunch of crazy politics, right? Around sort of safety and stuff. And that's cool. I want to know where you're at. So I want to know how close to
get. Yeah. You know it really, like you said, si le pides a Dios paciencia, cuidado, te va a mandar una prueba para probar tu paciencia. Right? But that's fine. That's how knife sharpens knives, right? Iron sharpens an iron. Yeah.
That's real, man. You hit it right there. You stabbed me with solidarity with that. You know what I mean?
High five. Just pump. So, ¿qué sigue en estos meses? Antes que nos veamos en octubre, where are you guys going? What are you guys doing?
So, I would say the three things. So, we still have new music. So, next week. Next month, we drop a song that we did for a movie called Canciones de mi Tierra. There's a movie called Summertime. It'll be releasing on in New York, in LA. It's an LA story that follows five poets. And so Truco is the music director. And he did stuff with Residente and Bad Bunny and Ricky Martin. And because he's an LA kid, he hit us up to do a track since we're LA, you know, LA kids. So that'll be dropping. And we have a new song called Oaxaca Love Song Number 2, which is I even love more than Sirena. It's the same vibe though. It's the same vibe. It's our homage to Oaxaca. That drops in September, and we hit the road in the fall. We'll be all over. Que no, Carlos, Texas, everywhere. Arkansas.
Everywhere with masks on.
Yeah, everywhere with masks. North Carolina, Chicago, Cali. We'll be all over. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
You're getting the cajon and the tacon is ready, right, Denise?
Sharpening those tacones.
That's so awesome. And, you know, when I've seen you live, I'm like, man, I wish I had one of those under me right now.
Yeah, I got that a lot. I love it. I love to see it. All of a sudden, everyone's just like,
right? You guys are just amazing. And I thank you for your time, not just here, but your time in the world, in society, in your community. And not giving up on us, not giving up on the people that follow you every day and see what you're doing and just are inspired by you. So thank you.
Gracias. And you doing this damn podcast. I'm like, man, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a long time. And like, seeing you doing it, like,
about it for 2 years.
We talk about it. It's like, you're doing it. I'm like, yes. Okay. Gotta
That's
do it.
All he talks about, because when he's driving on the road, when it's his turn to drive, all he listens to is podcasts.
Yes.
And he makes us stay up. Like, we can't go to sleep. He wants us to, like, stay up and listen to the podcast.
Well, if I'm driving, I don't want to fall asleep. I need you to stay up.
Yes, right.
And, you know, you can't really explain it secondhand. Like, you have to listen to that podcast with me to know what I'm talking about.
I know.
And I get you, Hector, because I used to manage a banda here in Chicago years ago, a techno banda. There were 10 guys, and I was a driver, and I was the manager. So I get you.
I was like, yo soy la estrella, déjenme dormir.
That's what they would do. They just get passed out. And I'm like over here driving. But good times. You know, I'm glad you get to have some more of those anecdotes out in the road.
Excited.
The good and the bad, the highs and the lows. You know, at least you don't have to do the dollar menu anymore, like in the beginning.
I know. No, my mom, like, ella, like, I'll be like, Amá, ¿me haces unos burritos for the flight? This lady, she makes, ¿cuántos van a ser? She makes 12, 16 burritos. And I'm like, Mom, like, they don't fit in my backpack. Se los van a comer los muchachos. Los muchachos. And I'm like, los muchachos pueden hacer sus propios burritos. But no, she's all about it. So no more dollar meal, because my mom is going to make those burritos.
We'll get on the flight, and I'll, you know, Denise is sitting.
You're like, woo!
Hey, Denise, ¿qué onda con los burritos?
The only reason you guys go on tours for those burritos.
Hey!
All right, you guys. Well, I thank you so much for being with me today. You guys are wonderful. I love you guys. I love you. What an honor.
From Chicago. We'll hit you up.
Let us know. We're going to be there for the Ana Bárbara show in the Ravinia Fest. Festival de Ravinia.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, so let us know if you're going to be coming down.
I will definitely be there. So, saludos a todos los demás. Saludos, saludos, and I'll see you guys soon.
Órale.
Volumes up, gotta fill that coffee cup, caffeinated just enough, stretch and send a prayer up for your kids and family to be safe, be strong, and be healthy, and one day that they be set free. But right now you got a whole house of mouths to feed. Time is really running thin, can you fit a breakfast in? Lucky if you see your kids, deeper take this moment in. The door and on your way, off you go another day, gotta be on time today and update that resume, cause this recession is a test. They're making cuts, now they want more for less. If you start to feel that extra stress, just do your best and leave the rest. Our ancestors did it too, somehow they all made it through, something that we all must do. Keep hope alive, keep hope alive, you'll make it too. And in case nobody told you on your job today, and in case they didn't tell you on your job today, las cafeteras would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To mothers who sacrifice to make ends meet.
Thank you.
fathers who faithfully take care of their seeds.
Thank you.
To farm workers, the food you harvest keeps us alive.
Thank you.
To teachers training their students to excel and survive.
Thank you.
From cooks, waiters, and bakers for our daily bread, to TAs, assistants, and those teaching special ed. Bus drivers getting us to work on time, for DJs, breakers, writers, and MCs who rhyme. Students with two jobs hitting those books at night, and the organizers bringing us together to fight. The little ones doing their chores and homework, and all those under and unemployed looking for work. Factory workers, migrants from distant lands, South Central farmers teaching us to work with the land. Construction workers building up the world with their hands. These days time passes faster than the quickest of sands. From peace workers in sweatshops, street vendors on each block, spiritual leaders in sweats, hot heat cleanses like detox, those working against addiction, fighting against eviction, the culture workers, musicians, and artists on a mission to transform our community with care and conviction. To single parents making miracles each week, and to our elders for the truth and the courage you speak. To ancestors whose hard work paved the way, and to everyone who's out there doing labor today. To my indigenous people and our creator too, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, so thank you.